Good evening. I thank all of you for coming out, and I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This evening, it's going to be a little bit different. If I knew how to make a computer and do a PowerPoint presentation, I would have done it, but I don't know how to do that. It might have helped all of you understand this a little bit better. I'm going to do a little bit of reading about God and about us. And then I'm going to talk about some things that he told Solomon. And I'm going to talk about us as the body of Christ and how we're made, how it all works. And hopefully you'll understand what God put into my head, at least, in my human anatomy class. Because right now I'm in college, and one of the classes I'm taking is human anatomy, and I learned something that just made my whole head just turn, my brain just turn. Is like, oh my. So hopefully you guys will see it too, so I'm not all alone and crazy in my thoughts. Maybe you'll be there with me. First, we're gonna talk a little bit about God, who he is, and what he expects from us, and who we aren't, basically who we aren't. So if you will turn to Exodus, the third chapter, and I'm going to start at the first. No. Is that right? Yeah, I'm going to start at the first verse. There we go. All right. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And I'm going to probably say he took off his shoes right away. I know I would have, and I would have been hiding my face. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, and this is God, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, When I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, the first time I ever remember hearing that, I'm sorry to have to say this, but was in the movie The Ten Commandments. Okay? And it just amazed me when I heard it. And it amazes me when I read it to have been with Moses and to hear God say, I am. I am that I am. That is just so awesomely powerful. I mean, just because he says or thought, I am that I am, he is. I can't even think myself to stay alive for a second. I mean, the only thing that's keeping me alive right now is the Spirit of God. Okay? Because when he pulls the plug on me, no matter how much I want to stay alive, I'm not going to stay alive. No matter how much I desire that, it's not going to happen. When he says it's time, it's time. But for him, he's like huge. Okay? This is God. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So there it is. I am. That I am. All right, so there's God. He is not like us. I mean, we are made in his image, but I can't even begin to think how he did all of this and how actually how powerful he really is. I can't even comprehend halfway how powerful he really is. It's just blows my mind. It's mind-boggling. And he knows everything. He made everything. And he made us, okay, this flesh and blood body. And he knows every little piece and part. And it is one of the most complicated things I've ever seen in my life. And he knows exactly how it works and what it's made of. So there's God, and he's talking to Moses, and he's telling Moses what he wants Moses to do. And later on, he's going to give Moses the commandments. And he's telling all the house of Israel what he expects them to do, and they're going to write it all down, and he expects us to do the same thing. God expects us to do the same thing that he expected them to do. All right? So we have his word. We have the things that he told Moses. We have the things that he's told a lot of the other prophets. And then we have the words of Christ. Turn to John. Let's find out about Christ a little bit. The 8th chapter of John. And I'm going to start at the 54th verse. Okay, this is Jesus Christ. And he's talking to the people there in Jerusalem. And they're arguing with him a little bit. They're thinking he's a little bit snooty about himself, that he thinks he's more than he is and everything, and they just don't quite understand who he really is. So in the 54th verse, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And that really got them going, okay? Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So there's Jesus Christ. All right? Abraham knew about Jesus Christ. Knew that he was going to be sacrificed. You remember reading in some of the scriptures where the prophets are talking about things that has been given to them, knowledge that's been given to them by God, and prophecies and things, that, but they were not allowed to write it down. But they talked about, there's things that God has shown me that I cannot tell you, but they're amazing and I can't write it down. Okay? Think about Abraham when he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And then God stopped his hand and gave him that sheep to sacrifice in his place. Don't you think that maybe it's possible, and I'm not saying that it happened, but maybe it was possible that God explained to Abraham a little bit more than Abraham was allowed to explain to the rest of us? Because if Abraham would have explained it to us way back then, everybody would have been looking for Jesus Christ, and they would have realized that he was going to get sacrificed, and they would have never have done it, okay? But maybe Abraham knew a little bit more than he was allowed to say. Maybe not, but maybe he did. I don't know. But I think about those things. All right, let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. And right here, I'm only going to read one verse. Okay? Because now we're going to go from God and Jesus Christ. We're going to go into us. We're going to go into the body. Our bodies. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Who is the one individual that has power to cast any of us into hell? It's God. Only God. I am that guy. Is the only one that has the authority and the power to be able to cast us into hell. And we're supposed to fear him and love him at the same time. Because he loves us. He's not afraid of us. He made us. He created us. We are his things that he made. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and here we are, we're still going to be talking about us, the body, except right now, there was a special body. All right? In the 11th chapter, this special body that God made, was, of course, Jesus Christ. And in the 24th verse, Paul's speaking, but then he quotes Jesus. And it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Okay, that's Jesus Christ telling us to do something. And we're supposed to do it often. We're supposed to do it in remembrance of what he did for us. That guy that Abraham knew. The guy that Abraham rejoiced about. The guy that was there. We're supposed to do that and remember him. Remember the sacrifice that he made and the things that he expects us to do and how much he truly did love us and wants only the best things for us. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I was sure Jim was going here this morning, starting at the 12th verse, and here we are. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And it's talking about us, his children, his church, his loved ones, the ones that are doing their best to keep his commandments. Okay? We are the body. There's a lot of us here. All different members, but we're the body. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit," and drink that blood of Christ to remember him. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." All right? So here we are. I need you guys. And hopefully you need me as much as I need you. Because I know that if it hadn't been for all of you encouraging me throughout my life, I wouldn't be here. If it hadn't been for your prayers, I wouldn't be here. If it hadn't been for the love that you have towards me, I wouldn't be here. I need you. And I need all these things that you've been giving me all these years. Because without it, I'd be lost. I would just be a piece that has been discarded. I wouldn't have that special bond or connection that I feel towards all of you if you didn't love me the way you do. I wouldn't be here. Let's go to Mosiah. Page 212. I'm going to start at the 54th verse. It's chapter 1, book of Mosiah, verse 54. I say, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. And that's the great I am. I am that I am has made this promise. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if ye do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And now, in the first place, he hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are, and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? And now I ask, can ye say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. Ye cannot say that thou art even as much as the dust of the earth. Yet thou wast created of the dust of the earth. But behold, it belongeth to him who created you. Your body belongs to him. This body of the church belongs to him. Okay? And there's a special thing that keeps us together. This body. Well, let's just keep going. All right, back to 1 Corinthians. Third chapter. Verse 16. All right. And now we're going to start going back towards Solomon here in just a little bit. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right. So one of the members of the Church of Christ defiled itself. The hand, the foot, the little finger, the little toe, doesn't matter. One of those things got dirty and didn't want to be cleaned and was willing to drag the rest of the church down with it. Well, it's going to get cut off, all right? If it doesn't want to be clean, it's going to have to be cut off. Otherwise, it's going to corrupt the rest of the body and drag the body down with it. That's the way it works. Right? If you had your little toe full of cancer, and your little toe, that cancer that was in your little toe, was threatening to spread through the rest of your body, unless you cut it off and there was no medicine that was going to stop it, would you be willing to cut it off? Well, yeah. Okay. Would you miss it? Terribly. Would you wish that it wasn't so, that little toe would be willing to take a bath? Yeah, of course. Okay, because you love the little toe. I love my little toe. I mean, it's not the most beautiful thing in the world, but I would miss it horribly if it was gone. Okay, so each part, each piece of us, if one of you guys did something, or if I did something that was horribly awful and caused me to be defiled, or you to be defiled, I would want you to repent. I would want you to get clean again and still be part of the body and share in the love of Christ that he has for us. Okay? That's what I would want. But sometimes there's people in the world that just say, well, that's not what I want. I'm out of here. And they leave. And we lose a little peace. Okay? But thankfully, just like in a human body, if you lose a cell, because we're going real small now, if you lose a cell that has a center or a soul, okay, and it dies, that cell can be replaced by another one. Okay, your body regenerates cells all the time. All right, that's the way the church is still here, because, I mean, my grandmother's gone, my grandfather's gone, Maynard's gone, Bertha's gone. You know, they're gone, but the church is still here. So it's still growing. The church as a body is still growing. All right? So yeah, I don't want anybody to be defiled, and neither does Jesus Christ. He wants all of us to stay clean and be willing to be cleaned. Okay? Well, there's a way that the body cleanses itself. It's kind of interesting. In the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, starting at the 15th verse, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God and are not your own?" Okay, now over here in the 3rd chapter, it said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So Holy Ghost, there we go, that's the answer. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If any one of us defiled a little part of the body of Christ and was not willing to repent, God would take us away, whoever it was. Hopefully it's not going to happen no more. 2 Corinthians 6th chapter. Starting at the 14th verse. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Okay, I don't want everybody out there to just run on out and go worship God at the Chiefs game or the Royals game or wherever you think you can go worship God. No, here. In the body, okay? This is where we come to worship God. We don't go worship God at the stadium. We don't go worship God at the movies. We worship God here together as a whole, the whole body joined together, all right? So this is where we do it. Not with unbelievers that are out in the world, but here. "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Did you talk about that this morning, Jim? Idols? I thought so. "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The I am that I am said that if we would do these things and separate ourselves from among the world, that he'll live in us. He'll be a part of us. But we cannot partake of the things of the world, the wickedness. We have to be clean. In Ecclesiastes, now we're getting all the way back to Solomon. Okay? All right. So here we are. And I love you guys. And I know you love me because I've felt your love and I've felt your prayers and I've seen your smiles and I know in my heart, I feel it. I know you do love me. And I know that you worry about me and my family and my children. I know that you worry about us and that you pray for us. Okay, I know these things and I feel it in me and I feel attached to you. I feel like I'm part of something bigger than just me. All right? And I know that I am attached to you because there is a bond, all right? And, well, let's just read it. In the fourth chapter of Solomon, or Ecclesiastes, sorry, starting at the eighth verse. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Just one finger laying out there all by itself. All alone. Okay, it's just a finger. Yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? Because it's just a finger out there. He doesn't know what he's doing and doesn't know why he's just making this movement. Doesn't have a clue what's going on. This is also vanity. It is a sore travail. It's just a worthless time, the finger all by itself. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. If I just had one finger out there working, I wouldn't be able to do much. Okay? But if I had two, especially if it was a thumb, I'd be able to get some work done. Something would happen. Okay? I could hold on to things. I could pick things up. I could make stuff. And two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. If this hand was all alone and there was no other hand to help this hand when it got a boo-boo or cut or whatever, how am I going to fix this hand? If I don't have another hand, or I don't have one of you to fix my hand. Okay? The body, the whole body needs to work together. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. And if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? On a cold winter day, when you're outside working and your hands get wet in your gloves and they get really cold and stiff, you ever tried to warm up your hand all by itself? You know, you're blowing on it and everything, and you're doing everything you can, but if you have two hands that can warm and rub together and massage the fingers and get the blood going again, doesn't it work a little better? Yeah. Okay. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And now this is the really cool part. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay? That's what binds all of us together. This threefold cord. Because there's more than two. There's a whole bunch. And we're all bound together in the body of Christ. All the members are bound together with this cord. This threefold cord. Okay? You got three parts to the cord. It's like a big cable. All right? And if you ever want to move something or draw or pull something along, okay, the best thing to use is a cable. Right? You want to lift up something that's really heavy way up into the sky with a crane, you're going to use a cable. Cables are three wires or sets of wires twisted together to form a cable. That's the way it works. Have you ever seen on the news somebody in a flood and the helicopters came in, the Coast Guard came in, and they picked them up off the roof and pulled them up into the helicopter? Usually it's with some kind of threefold cord, whether it's a cable of steel or nylon or whatever. It's usually threefold, at least. Pulls them up, way up into the sky, and they're saved, right? Well, think about that. As the body of Christ, the church, when one of the members is being sucked away in a flood, what's pulling him back? Okay? It's the love of God and Christ and us praying for him. Okay, that cord that's attached from my heart to Leslie's heart, to Aunt Joyce's heart, okay, to Debbie's heart, to Marvin's heart. You know, that cord, that attachment that we have as members of the body of Christ. And this cord that Solomon was talking about way back then, okay, he didn't make it up. I don't know exactly when the first cable was made by man. I don't know when that happened, but whoever came up with it was a genius. All right? But I know who made the first threefold cord. That was God. And in your body, every little piece of your body is attached, believe it or not, with a threefold cord. All the bones are attached to each other with threefold cords. Those things that they call ligaments or tendons or whatever they are. When you look at them under a microscope and you get it down to the deal, it's a cord made of three strands wrapped in a cable. And that's what attaches one bone to the next. And this organ to that organ. And through your body, there's actually a net of these cords, these cables that run through your body. And they hold all the organs in place. They hold your cells grouped together. Okay. They line your body in all these places. Your whole body is tied together with threefold cords. Okay. All the members with a threefold cord. You could even say it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, if you wanted to, holding you together. The body of Christ. Okay? Now, when the body gets dirty, what cleanses the body? The blood. The blood is what cleanses the body. The blood of Christ is what cleanses the body of the church. The blood of Christ is what's going to make us pure and spotless when we're standing in front of God. I don't know if Solomon knew that his body was full of threefold cords. I doubt it. I don't think they had microscopes back then. They might have, and they disappeared for a while, and then they came back in the late 1800s, but I don't think so. But anyway, I find it amazing. Because a threefold cord is one of the hardest things to break. Okay? It takes a lot to break it. You can twist it and bend it and all kinds of stuff, and you can pull on it and pull on it and pull on it. And if it's attached to a piece of bone here and a piece of bone here, more than likely the bone is going to break before the cord is going to break. So when we're here, And we're worshiping God as a body. Brothers and sisters, members. And it doesn't matter what member you are. I need all of you. I don't want to lose any of you. I love all of you more than I ever loved my little toe. And I love my little toe because it helps me balance. So if you get dirty, let the blood of Christ cleanse you. Do what he said. Keep his commandments. Remember who he is and who we aren't. He is, I am, and we aren't. He has commanded us to do a lot of things. But this path that we're on, he has signposts all along the path that keep saying, that way is the way of the tree of life. Little things like a threefold cord that you find out in human anatomy class, that my body is full of threefold cords. And when your human anatomy professor says, your body has got these cables in them, it's just like a three-strand cable, and those are the hardest things in the world to break. Did you know that? And immediately my mouth fell open and I said, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And he just grinned because he knew what I was talking about. All the other students, I don't know if they understood it or not. They were a lot younger than me, and I don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I am just amazed at the things that God puts in our path every day that points to him and points to the tree of life. It's there. It's everywhere. All of the information that we have in these scriptures tell us, keep your eyes open all day long. I'm going to be showing you things that point to me, I am that I am, and the things that I want you to do during the day. Keep your eyes open and your ears open to him and your heart open to that cord that's tugging on you. The Holy Ghost is going, hey, this way, out front. Okay? So, yeah, it's a little different than normal, I guess, but it's just the way God works. I'm happy for it. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all of you being here. Thank you.